S&P futures this morning are sitting around 7,650, up roughly 0.09%, a market that's essentially flat in the pre-dawn hours, which is consistent with a week where geopolitical noise is high and investors are waiting for clearer signals before making directional bets. The Bank of Japan story is getting somewhat buried under the political headlines, but it's one of the most consequential financial stories of the week.
Walk me through it.
BOJ board member Masu issued a warning this week that rapid rate hikes are possible if inflation in Japan accelerates. Now, for most of financial market history, a central banker saying we might raise rates faster would be unremarkable. In Japan's case, it's extraordinary because Japan spent roughly three decades in near zero or negative interest rate territory. The BOJ's gradual exit from ultra-loose policy has been one of the defining macro stories of 2025 and 2026. Every signal about the pace of that exit moves global capital. Here's why. Japanese investors, pension funds, insurance companies, the government itself, hold enormous quantities of foreign assets, particularly U.S. treasuries, because domestic Japanese rates were so low for so long. As Japanese rates rise, the incentive to hold foreign assets diminishes. Repatriation of even a fraction of that capital creates meaningful downward pressure on U.S. Treasury prices, which means upward pressure on U.S. yields, which ripples through mortgage rates, corporate borrowing costs, and equity valuations.
So a central banker in Tokyo talking about rate hikes has direct implications for American homeowners and American corporations.
Directly. And the timing matters because the U.S. is already navigating its own rate cycle, its own deficit trajectory, and the potential $5,000 payment proposal we discussed earlier, which, if it ever became real legislation, would add trillions to the deficit and put further pressure on bond markets. These aren't separate stories.
The Musk documentary situation is almost a relief to discuss after that. Almost. The short version, filmmaker Alex Gibney premiered a four-hour documentary about Musk at the Venice Film Festival. Musk's legal team has now threatened to sue, claiming the film defames him by implying he used Starlink, his satellite internet company, to influence the outcome of the 2024 U.S. presidential election. Gibney has made investigative documentaries about Enron, Scientology, and the Catholic Church abuse scandal. So he's not easily intimidated by legal threats, and his production teams typically have extensive legal review before premiere. But the lawsuit threat is itself a communication. It signals that whatever the documentary contains is sensitive enough that Musk wants to litigate it publicly even before distribution.
The Starlink allegation specifically is significant because Starlink has played a documented role in geopolitical events, Ukraine being the most prominent example. Allegations about its role in domestic U.S. elections are a different and more legally fraught category. Whether or not the legal case has merit, the film is now going to get substantially more coverage than it would have without the lawsuit threat. That's a dynamic Musk has navigated with mixed results before.
She is currently serving an 11-year sentence at a federal correctional facility in Bryan, Texas, following her fraud conviction related to the Theranos, a company that claimed its proprietary blood testing technology could run hundreds of diagnostic tests from a single finger prick drop of blood. A claim that turned out to be scientifically false and cost investors hundreds of. And then there's Elizabeth Holmes, millions of dollars. Her husband, Billy Evans, is now reportedly raising $18 million for a new blood testing startup. And Holmes is reportedly helping with that fundraising process from prison. Let me try. The question of whether this is legally permissible is one thing. There are restrictions on what convicted fraudsters can do while incarcerated, but the specific contours of Holmes's restrictions on outside business activity are not fully public. The question of whether investors are willing to fund blood testing technology connected to a person serving time for blood testing fraud is a different question entirely. $18 million suggests the answer is yes, at least for some investors. That might speak to the genuine market need for better point-of-care diagnostics. It might speak to a bet that Evans can execute where the Theranos failed. Or it might speak to the peculiar attraction some investors have to narratives of redemption and second acts.
The business history of the Theranos is instructive. The core problem wasn't that the diagnostic vision was bad. Miniaturized blood analysis is a legitimate and valuable technology goal. The problem was that Theranos claimed to have achieved it when they hadn't, then worked aggressively to prevent outside validation of their claims. The lesson for any investor in a new blood testing venture should be: demand independent third-party validation of the science before writing a check, not after.